Hi, welcome to Spoil Movie Reviews on the blackouttips.com. As you guys know, this is some movie reviews for people who seen the movie, never plan on seeing the movie, or just don't give a fuck because we're gonna spoil it. That's right, guys. Jackie Robinson does win Rookie of the Year, and they do make the pennant. We have a couple guests today, as always.
They don't actually show that part, though.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's true. No. Spoiler alert? No. Spoiled alert. We have a couple guests on the show right now. Let me introduce the first lady of podcasting. It's Brandon from Where's My 40 Acres? Now it's Karen, of course, from the Blackout Tips. Say what's up, Karen.
Hey, everybody. How y'all doing out there?
And then we have the homie, Big Simba, a.k.a. Phenom.
Hold on, nigga. I actually do feel pretty today, though. Like, what is that about?
God damn, these light-skinned dudes, man.
I was going to go with it, because I'm about
to
say.
What is that about? Like, I mean, hey, brother, call it how you see it. I'm just saying.
I never liked you anyway, pretty motherfucker.
That's right.
but it's the homie Brandon, a.k.a. Big Simba, a.k.a. Phenom Black, a.k.a. Corner Boy. What's up, player?
I hate being black. But I love feeling pretty. So it's kind of stuck in between.
I think right now I feel like I like being black, but I feel like that's because I saw 42. Chris Lambert, comedian and comic to the stars, podcast host extraordinaire. What's up, Chris, man? How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
All right. The movie we are reviewing today is 42, the story of Jackie Robinson and his history making signing with the Brooklyn Dodgers and under the guidance of team executive branch Ricky. Of course, lots of racism in this movie.
Yes. The racism was mwah.
Yeah, it stars Chadwick Boseman, who played Jackie Robinson, Harrison Ford, who played the first ever magical white man in a movie, and the fine ass Nicole Beharie,
she was gorgeous,
who played the gorgeous Rachel Robinson, and I'd also had to give some props to my man who played Wendell Smith, Andre Holland. He killed it. But let's go ahead and get into it. Here we break it down very, very easily. We do the More Epic Than Love Jones review scale. Of course, zero on the More Epic Than Love Jones is man, fuck you. And it goes up to five. The fuck you waiting for, go see this shit. And the very rare six, which is Kev tears. And if you get Kev tears, then you know you're doing something right.
Yes, you are.
All right, let's go ahead and talk about this shit. Number one, let's talk about what worked for everybody for this movie. Let's start with what worked. Yeah. And I'll go around the room. I'll go with you first, Karen. What worked for you in 42?
The acting itself. I love the racism because I thought...
Well, we knew you'd love the racism.
Yes, because I thought that it was going to be watered down. Like, literally... you know, all cartoonish but no, the racism was to the point where you was like, oh, I feel that in my heart. Oh, it really made you
orgasmic racism.
Yes. You know, it was like, I feel your pain.
Yeah.
that's how I was feeling
you
the
know,
whole time.
You know what? Go ahead, Chris. I'm sorry.
No, there's something there.
Oh, you know, some of the racism was so good / bad. There were moments where I was like, is this rated R? Let me look at my ticket again. Can you say it's that? Not. It's PG-13. they went there. Anything else, Karen, that worked for you with this movie?
That they acted. I loved the dude to play Jackie Robinson. I loved his wife. And I guess, and one thing I did like about the movie is I think him and his wife was like out walking and like, so it was like some dudes over fixing a light and a white dude walked over to him and was like, hey, and he, you know, started panicking almost and, hey, baby, get behind me. He was like, I'm supporting you too. And to me, that let me know that, it was a way to put across that all white people during that time were not a monolith, which is a true statement. And also let you know that there were also people that literally really supported him. in a way of we should all be equal, not really trying to bash and tear down.
And white people, it also was a way of showing that some white men need to learn how to approach people with a motherfucking smile on their face.
True.
Like, if that dude would have just smiled a little bit, everything would have been way different. But he walked over there with a grumpy looking face to be like, hey, I respect you, goddamn it. It's like, get out of here, motherfucker.
That was his first time talking to a nigga without wanting to lynch him.
Hey, Jackie Robinson, boy. Say, I'm like, sorry, Chris. I talked over.
Crispy motherfucker. Right. I want you to do great. You have my...
You
exactly how I went, though. He was like, I had to climb all the way down this fucking ladder to come tell your black ass that before you get across that street with your beautiful wife that you clutching in safety.
Oh, all
nigga,
right.
Do good.
Spirit chucking son of a bitch.
So, Brandon, what worked for you, man?
Well, first of all, I'm just going to go ahead and give my rating right now. Rachel Robinson gets Kev tears.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yes.
That girl gets
That's a beautiful woman.
Kev tears.
Yes.
It's not even that, dog. The way her acting was.
Yes.
Exceptionally great. Yes. Like, it was, I was in there. I was like, you know what? I don't know if I could have gone and played for $600 a week.
Right.
Knowing I would have had to leave her somewhere.
And by beautiful woman, I mean, like, her character is a fully fleshed out woman. Like, she handled
dog,
that
she
shit.
She walked in the White's Only bathroom. I was like, see, that's why I picked her.
Right.
Yes.
I was like, you shake your head like, oh, these are the things I love about her that I shouldn't.
Right. I like how Jackie just knew to walk off too. She walked in that bathroom. He was like, hey, don't, shit, she in there now.
He stopped because he knew he wasn't going to be able to stop. He was like, damn it, that education is kicking in.
Yep.
That degree is kicking in. She's like, going to walk up in that bitch.
Yeah, she going to go in there and probably shit. She don't give a fuck.
You know, but, of course, sir, I thought Harrison Ford's character was a good combination of over the top, entertaining, funny, and, literally preaching the truth.
Yes.
I thought it was a lot of stuff that he said that whoever wrote this was very good at simplifying very complex quotes, things that you took away from the film. Like the one about when you get to heaven and God asks you why you didn't let Jackie Robinson play. I don't think because he's black is going to be a good enough answer.
Yeah.
Which is funny because you can say something like that in everyday life, and for some reason, it just never registers. Like, people don't get it. It doesn't stick.
In our theater, people clapped when he said that. Like,
yes, they did.
People broke out clapping. Like, you tell them. Like, we went and saw the black theater, which I suggest everyone do.
Yes.
Like, don't go see this shit. Like, white theater, it'll be okay. But there's something about that, the black
theater,
of our audience.
Yeah.
It was a lot of, like, anytime a pivotal moment happened and a white dude got told off, it was some, that's what I'm talking about. I was like, yeah, get them old ladies.
You know, that worked great. I thought the way that they decided to focus on certain side characters, like, they didn't try to do the whole baseball team thing. Mm. They more just tried to do, okay, we're going to do Pee Wee Reese. We're gonna do this tall, goofy dude. Looks like he never gets any playing time on the field. We're gonna make him a pivotal character.
Yeah.
We're gonna take one of the little fat kids from one of those shows or movies from back in the day that is now a full grown man. And we're gonna make him the bitter bitch that sits on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I thought what's the name's character too got cut out early, but Christopher Maloney as Leo DiRuccia was awesome, and I'm mad he got cut out early. But I'm glad he was in the movie, period, because
it's like even though it was real life, so I mean, of course he was out of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wanted him to just be around, like, and maybe because they picked such a good actor, he played the role so well.
Good.
I missed him.
Me too.
Like you're supposed to. Like when
I was
like
disappointed.
Yeah, so this dude's not gonna be the manager. I was like, oh fuck, that just fucked everything up.
I was like, oh shit, what you mean he's suspended? I got angry. What you mean he's suspended for a year?
Right.
I think this could have been the first black Disney film, to be quite honest. Like, it had that Disney feel to it at certain points, like with the Ed Charles character that you find out later. It had those moments that made you smile. It had moments that made you upset. It was just a all-around feel-good film. It could have been Rosewood.
It could have been.
And I was really hoping it wasn't going to be Rosewood because I ain't want to trip white people up on my way out of the theater.
Right.
No, right. I was
like this is a this is another one of the post-racial type films for me, where, and by post-racial, I mean like everybody walks out feeling better, as opposed to when I grew up, going to see a black film really like about racism was really not a promising prospect for white people.
Mm-mm. Yeah, and Ben Chapman must have tried to get a role in Django and was turned down because he brought all that energy over.
Oh yeah, that's what I was gonna bring up.
His racial epithets were greatness. Like I couldn't help.
He was playing Guess the Race in real life.
Yes, that's what me and Roger was like. Damn, he is good at this.
That Tar Baby, Porch Monkey. Yes. Like he went. The only thing I didn't hear was Spook. I wish he'd hit him some. I wish he would have hit him with some relevance to like old black films. Like, look at here, we got a sequel. We got Spook Who Sat in the Dugout. I'm like, yo, that's it. I would have tripped out. That would have been greatness for me.
Also, a moment that worked for me tremendously. Well, actually, I'll save it for mine. My bad. Chris, I feel like we got to get to you. So
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, because you guys did ask me to do this. So. No, I really like echoing what everybody said. The acting was great. When you talk about Nicole Beharie, she could have just been the wife, and there was like actual nuance to her. She was a three-dimensional character, and it just worked for me. I love the racism. My favorite scene in the movie is when I believe it's opening day, and a white father and son are there, and the white father's like, I remember the first day that I saw Hannes Wagner play, and it was a brilliant, it was a magnificent time. And his son was like, yay, daddy! And then as soon as Jackie Robinson comes up to the play, he's like, nigga!
Yes! And the kid stuff.
And the kid, like, he's looking, he's like, oh, and he was like, nigga!
But he had to think about it for a second. Like, he was like, but you were so proper about, I've never seen my dad act like this before. Usually he snuggles up with a good book.
And he's like, who the fuck is this guy?
Now he looks like he wants to throw it at this black man.
Yeah, I enjoyed that too. I enjoyed that a lot. The writing in this film was tremendous.
Excellent.
With moments like that where you just encapsulate years and years of hatred and racism, but in a couple of like seconds, and the absurdity of racism was really captured well. Like when they're getting 100 gallons of gas and the guy's like, don't go piss in my bathroom. It's like, all right, well shit, let's just get on up the road and
from somewhere else.
Yeah, then he's like, oh shit, well go on to the bathroom.
This one is worth 99 gallons. Can I throw out a fun fact?
Yeah,
this white dude is really just becoming one of my favorite actors ever. Nicole Beharie dated Michael Fassbender.
Yeah, I just was talking about how that's my man crush. Like,
what the fuck?
Michael Fassbender is
dating. They came together probably, and that's why they.
They started dating during the film. They split in January though of this year. She's free, but yeah, she was damn. Man. That's competition, brother.
Michael Fassbender be winning, dog. That nigga be winning. Chris, anything else you wanted to bring up that worked for you?
Just overall, I think the racism was great, and it's one of the best sports movies I've seen since probably Remember the Titans. As far as just dealing with the whole, with just like what society was like at that time as a whole, was great. And I think it's a movie that people should see. I wanted one great scene. Another one was when Ben Chapman, where the owner of the Phillies was talking to him.
That was Brad Baer, Kirby Higbee, I think. Was his character, and he got moved to Pittsburgh, and he had to go do a.
Not him, but the Alan Tudyk character. It's Ben Chapman, and the owner of the Phillies was talking to him. Was like, you know, we got to over. And did you read this article? And he reads him the article, and he's like, "But you probably wrote it."
Yeah.
And I was just like, I was the only person in the theater laughing at.
I laughed at some fucked up shit in this movie.
I did too.
That no one laughed at.
Yeah.
And one of those scenes being when everyone went dead silent in the theater while Ben Chapman berated Jackie.
I was dying.
I have not laughed so hard. I was having spasms holding my laughs in. Cause every time I thought he was done, he'd take it to the next level. He'd just be like, Nigga.
That's why I started.
Come on,
down,
porch boy.
Like,
come on, porch monkey.
He would fill in nigga for breaths. Like, that's how he took his breaths. He took his breaths saying nigga in between
like,
hey, the bullshit.
He
like,
said,
he came up with stories.
He said, who's wife? Stories, he said, whose wife is he having sex with? And he said, oh, I hate to say it, but I think it's you, Pee Wee. I seen the way she was looking at him when he put that little switch in his hip. So I was like, man. Oh,
he started talking about dancing and shit.
Yes.
Oh, I was in the theater. I was.
And I felt, and the thing that's funny is everyone in the theater, when he got called a redneck piece of shit or whatever, everybody thought that you told him. But in my mind, I was like, no, he won.
Yeah, like, you redneck piece of shit is nothing compared to what that man just dished out.
Like,
he broke. Not only did he kill Jackie Robinson, he just broke down the whole team. Like, I'm surprised he didn't go down the line for every player, but that's probably just because he didn't know all of their names.
And another thing
about that scene, I like the fact that they showed Jackie Robinson break down.
Yeah.
Which was another, like, what added another dimension to the character, because a lot of times these movies, they make these guys look like, you know, saints and larger than life figures, and you could actually see Jackie Robinson's journey throughout everything. Mm-hmm. And that scene before, you know, Branch Rickey becomes his magical white man.
Yes.
He's like, I can't do this. This is hard. And, you know, he did it anyway.
So yeah. And Chad Boseman's eyes deserve an Oscar. Cause I've never seen black rage encapsulated in just two eyes so hard. Like, anytime something fucked up was happening and they cut to Chad's, like his body language would be saying one thing, like, okay, I'm going to go shake his hand now. But his eyes would be like, I will cut your throat in your sleep.
Nigga, his jaw structure is anger.
It is like, anger.
Yes. That's how you sum it up in anatomy class. Like, what jaw line is this, anger?
Yeah.
Because every time, he just has a hard, angry face.
Oh, I loved it.
Even
man.
His haircut looked harsh. Like he was mad.
And he's able to also encapsulate the emotion of, is this shit really happening really well? Like,
yeah.
Whether it's good or bad, he always kind of has this look like, this shit is really happening. These motherfuckers.
Yes.
And he looks like Jackie Robinson, which also helps. Yeah.
Yes. And I think for me, the only thing short in that rant when he was calling him a nigga was motherfucker. I just wanted to hear a real good motherfucker in there somewhere.
Yeah. Then it would have been
more than motherfucker. You're talking to black people like that.
It would have definitely been R-rated then. So what worked for me, I thought the writing for the characters was really well as far as motivation. They didn't give anyone this really overarching great motivation until the very end when Harrison Ford kind of talks about why he did all this.
Mm-hmm.
But even in that scene, he's kind of saying like, I did this because I fucked up a long time ago. So it's not even like anyone had these great motivations like his. And I like how he framed it depending on who he was talking to. Cause he was like, when the white people asked, he's like, hey, it's about getting that money. Cause y'all can understand that. Right. And when Jackie asked, he's like, hey, it's about racism. Cause that's fucked up. Right. Like he was just like, look, I got my own reasons and I'll say whatever I need to for you to hear. But I thought that was cool. And he wanted to win. And he knew it was the future. And also, like he said, black money spend.
Yes, it does.
And it didn't make sense to not want that money. And also Jackie Robinson and his wife, the people involved in their lives, they all had good motivations too.
Mm-hmm.
Wendell Smith's motivation to be a respected black sports writer and how
she sit in the press box.
Exactly. Like that shit mattered, to me. Even, Rachel Robinson and her whole idea of, like he's about to get this money and you know like and how much she was about being respected, like she's like, where are the white basketball wives? I mean,
well, basketball, the
they're not on TV, but where are the white baseball wives at? Where are they standing? Like, you're the only one. And she's like, that's good then, fuck them. I like that. I really enjoyed, and I don't know where they went and found these dudes, but the angry white man extras, mwah, magnifique.
You can find them anywhere. What do you mean?
I don't know, man.
They can play the role so well.
I don't know, Chris. I don't know where you live, but when I go out to the mall or whatever, I don't see white dudes naturally this angry looking. Like, they just look
angry.
It's like nigger was on their face. They didn't even, they just, and they were just, and it wasn't like they had speaking lines. They were just everywhere. It's just like five dudes walk outside a hotel. Four of them look like, get out of here, niggers. And I'm like, man.
All right. See, okay. I know exactly where this came from. Mm. This is what happens when you give a blackish film that's going to have some racism, some crazy deep stuff in it, a $40 million budget versus giving it to Tyler Perry and giving him an $11 million budget. Right? You just can't afford that racial face. Like, okay. You can't afford that real
racial
face.
That's what it is. That's what racial face costs these days.
Okay. It's expensive. You got to pay these white dudes to drum all that up from their
past. Where did the money go for Red Tails? Because that budget was even more.
In the promotion. They wanted to show niggas flying planes every second of the day. Until that movie came out.
Yes, they did.
Most look, niggas in planes. Do you want to see it again? Niggas in planes. It's like, all right,
I still think Red Tails was kind of goofy. But like, I still think that there's a place for it as long as you get dialogue from it, because of course the Tuskegee Airmen was great. But when I was a kid, I loved Top Gun. Like, Top Gun was the shit. And but if I saw more black people that looked like me flying those fucking planes, I probably would want to do that.
Well, I'm not going to debate merits of Red Tails here. We're here to talk 42. But I will say as a movie, I didn't see enough racist white people in that movie. I will say
they spoke German, right? Nobody understand German.
Yeah,
racism.
But the racism was on the face of these people. They didn't need to speak a language in 42. They could have all spoke German in 42, and I wouldn't have known.
You know what? Go ahead, Chris. I'm sorry.
Y'all gonna fight over this?
Oh, no problem. The old white dude that rolled up in there in that car, it was like, is he in there?
Yeah. Oh man,
that was real racism.
Yes.
He had to cackle as he drove off.
He was like "They coming for you."
Very racist.
He didn't even. I don't know if you guys know this. That guy did not. He was not in the script. He didn't even know there was a movie about Jackie Robinson being filmed.
He just rolled up there.
It just happened to have the cameras rolling on set one day, and old McRacist rolled up. After being the villain in the Scooby-Doo movie and dropped some bars.
You know what happened, dog? That motherfucker had a flashback of when this really did happen. He was in his 20s and he probably got Alzheimer's. So he was reliving that shit all over.
It was too real.
Was looking for him. He escaped from the hospital.
Oh, that shit was too real. But the relationship with... Oh, go ahead, Chris. I'm sorry.
I was going to say he was actually that boy looking...
Nigger.
But you know what though? Like, I'll say this. You said like that you couldn't. How did they find those angry white men, dude? They're everywhere. Like, if you watch SportsCenter and you see all these black guys dunking basketballs and running touchdowns and every night, and you work at Pep Boys, you're gonna have that anger. And all you need is something. Hey, you get to say nigger as much as you want. And you can get pizza after you say nigger. You
said pizza.
Oh no.
There's craft
services. Go to craft services. Get you a nigger slice.
You will wave your nigger flag and we already cut.
I feel bad for any white dudes listening to this shit. Cause I know they're like, man, come on, Chris. I'm not harboring that type of racism.
I feel like there's a white dude listening right now going, finally, these niggers understand us.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'm sorry.
These smart niggers right here. They got education.
I'm sorry, white people. But the relationship between Jackie and Rachel really worked for me. And by relationship, I mean like how she actually kind of alleviated a lot, like they show how without patronizing, they like she alleviated a lot of his stress and frustration. Like that entire family dynamic worked. Like, you can see he was a family man in the movie, like him talking about his father and being there for his own child. And then
very fat baby.
Yeah. One of my favorite scenes in the movie is kind of a throwaway scene, but it's actually when Jackie tells her about the racist dude that kicked him off the field, and he makes a joke out of it where he's like, I got to get in. I say, oh, I'm getting, and start shuffling, and she's like, I'm getting. He's like, you're not gonna get away from me. That shit was beautiful, man. Like, it kind of felt like, yeah, she's lightening that load for him, and she kind of has to because, you know, these white people is crazy. And then the last thing that worked for me, the humor in the movie was actually funny considering the subject matter. Like the shower with me scene.
That shit was perfect. That shit was perfect. But at the same time, you just wanted him to stop talking. Dude, yes. Just stop talking.
It was funny, but it was like I had said on you guys' podcast, like how every moment they had to like underscore with the fucking with the musical selection.
Yes.
But Jackie, take a shower.
Hey, you know what?
Hey, washing his ass.
Yo, but they didn't do it until after the white dude looked at him and was like, "This nigga gonna wash beside me?" Oh hell no! Nah. And turned around to walk out, and that's when the sun started running down Jackie's arms.
Yeah. Like, okay. Hey man, but that shit was so good because it was almost comical at that point, but.
I laughed the whole time. There's one scene that we didn't talk about that mm-hmm. I want to put out. I thought was fucking hilarious. After that white dude threatened him and they had Jackie pack up and Wendell threw him in the car and they was driving.
Yes.
All the white folks was coming up on the window and Jackie looked at him. What they want? I was like, for real, nigga? What they want? He looked at him. That was sleepy Jackie talking
And then Wendell Smith gives him one of the fastest quick synopsis of racism ever, because he's doing like 50 on the street and he's like, Jackie, they sent some men for you. The old man came to the house and was going to, and I thought that maybe them was like, the fellas.
I thought I got cut from the team. Yeah. When you had that. You, and then he starts laughing.
Yeah,
and all I keep thinking is, these white men wanted to lynch and kill you, and you are laughing because you thought you got cut from the team.
Yeah,
that's a strong black man right there.
No, the humor was so good and so appropriate. Let's talk about what didn't work for everybody, and I'll go back around and we'll go opposite way this time because I think Chris started with the music. So, Chris, what didn't work for you?
Yeah, it was just the music. The music was too heavy-handed. I think you had really talented actors that were telling the story, so like you didn't need that much of it. There was another scene which kind of threw me for a loop, was when Jackie's wife goes to get the babysitter, and it's a white babysitter, and I kind of wanted to know what her inner life was, and I don't think that was explored enough.
Yeah, you always do identify with young white women in these movies. I don't know why it is, but listening to your show, like, this is a theme for you.
I thought it was funny to me because it was just
honestly was scared shitless. I thought as soon as Rachel walked out that door, she was going to
take her baby
out the window.
Yeah. Hey, my baby's going to be missing.
Scared, here's what's funny though, right? It's a historical movie based on real shit, right? So like if something would have happened to that baby, that would be actually bigger than Jackie Robinson. The person would be the time someone killed or kidnapped his baby. Like we would be like, man, remember? Like white people ain't shit.
I don't know enough about Jackie Robinson.
No, but I'm saying it would have become a huge part of our history if something completely fucked. Like if they had been like, and then one time they raped his wife. Like that shit would have been so like after all these years in existence. And 70 years later, the first thing we think about with Jackie Robinson is, man, you know they tried to kidnap his wife one time. Like we would know it, right? But watching this movie, I had the same fucking thought as y'all. Like,
right.
She better not do nothing to that baby.
Yeah, I thought she better not kidnap that baby or some bullshit.
Like, we wouldn't have heard about it. We would have fucking heard about it.
Yeah.
I was still shook like a motherfucker. I was like, Lord, this white woman, she gonna drop that baby on the ground.
They gonna do something. AKK gonna come get her baby.
That's a big baby.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I just noticed that. But other than that, really, the movie, I really enjoyed it. I knew what to... I kind of, like I was telling you guys earlier, I knew what to expect when I went in to see it, but I was just really pleasantly surprised. It was just a really good movie.
All right. What about you, Brandon? Anything that didn't work for you?
The only thing, I won't say this didn't work for me, but like, I wish they wouldn't. Okay. Let me just say it. I know the movie is 128 minutes. and they covered a lot of stuff. And the first introduction of the Negro into white man's Major League Baseball is a very huge thing. So I understand why they tried to capture as much going on. They tried to capture the team. They tried to capture the coach. They tried to capture the owner. They tried to capture Jackie, his wife, even a little bit of his start, how blacks felt about him, how whites in the crowd felt about him, how people wrote about him. That's a lot to cover. That would be one whole season of the fucking Wire. I wish I could have gotten more of a Jackie Robinson, the person story. But that personally is just me. I'm sure there's a bio out here I could go watch.
Well, he did one of his own. He did.
So I could go watch that, and that would service that that need.
I did kind of want to know, what the papers wrote. Like I can't front, like, they had a couple key scenes involving the papers, but I did kind of want to know at the beginning when they were like, especially after the speech from Wendell, where he's like, hey, you know, you got to see the ball coming in slow when you had a pitch. You need to see these interview questions coming in slow. And I wanted to see if there was going to be like Jackie kind of either failing at that or learning over time how to handle those questions and stuff like that. Like what was written about him, like when he called the dude a liar kind of on the field. Like I was wondering if that was going to be, major headline and stuff like that. And it kind of like they just took the papers almost.
Well, they kind of cleaned that up by having him fix his answer within the scenario where he was being interviewed. So like the dude was like, so what are you saying? He's a liar? No, I'm just saying he said what he said. I'm not saying he's a liar at all. Nobody's a liar. He's a man. He has the right to say whatever he wants to. Mm-hmm. They kind of made Jackie like impenetrable when it came to fucking up at these interviews.
Yeah, I wanted to see if the papers fucked it up anyway.
Like, right, they would say probably did.
Yeah, that's what I assumed. What they would be like, yeah, I know what he said, but niggas don't need to be playing no fucking
this is the baseball. Quote I plan to use.
Exactly. Out
of all the things he said, which happens all the time. Mm-hmm. The other thing I wanted a bit more of, and I just love this character, is Rachel Robinson. I wanted more. I know it's usually when they use her, it was in support of Jackie. It was, how is Jackie feeling? Okay, look at me, baby. Stuff like that. When she's sitting in the crowd, he's about to flip out. She's kind of like, look at me, don't look at him.
Yeah.
I wanted to know more about her character because she did that well with the role.
Yeah.
You know, they mentioned her education. And then after that, she kind of just is here when Jackie needs her and not here when he's on the field. Because he doesn't need her in those scenes. You have his teammate.
It's clearly his story. Like,
right.
Even the white characters who have character arcs in the story aren't the main. Like, we really don't get into anything with them unless it has specifically something to do with Jackie.
But the other one is Harrison Ford. They kind of, him and Harrison Ford kind of jointly share this story as the leads in this movie.
Yeah, but like even other characters, like I would even extend it to Harrison Ford. Like, and I like this about the movie, by the way, there is no subplots to these other people where it's like Harrison Ford has cancer and his son and a marriage that isn't working. Like, I like how every scene is like, let's do this thing, and this is how it relates back to Jackie Robinson. Let's do this. A lot of the stories, once they have, it's supposed to be a black story, but you get into some American gangster shit, and now you're learning about, like, Russell Crowe's ex-wife and his custody battle. It's like, why
Harrison
did you have
Ford
to...
Harrison Ford was like his bag boy. Harrison Ford was like his bag boy. He towed it around. He didn't let Jackie see the letters.
Yep.
When the newspapers would call him and print stuff up, when the owners would call down and start problems or anything like that, his whole focus was he did what a manager is supposed to do.
Yeah, he's a magical white man. He's a magical white man.
We need more magical white men in hip hop.
First ever. This is the first ever. I've never seen this role done by a white man before, and I'm amazed, honestly.
He literally put Jackie in a box and put people around him. He kind of like put this invisible fence around Jackie. He's like, okay, Wendell is going to kind of be his black friend.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be his mentor, kind of manager, PR person, public assist. Maloney was supposed to be his coach that kept him straight on the team. And he's got his wife for the home stuff. So, you know, it was good the way they did it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. But I'm curious. as a curious person, I had the same thoughts, which is like, what do these people do when it's not about Jackie? But you know, that would be a fucking 7-hour movie, and I get it. Karen, what didn't work for you?
Well, the number one thing that didn't work for me, now one time did I hear Brooklyn, We Go Hard, the entire movie, and even after the movie ended in the credits, I did not hear You Lied to Me, Jay-Z.
All right.
This movie took place in the 40s, Karen. Yeah.
The only thing,
but you tricked me. You tricked me, people.
Them Jay-Z trailers.
I did hear Brooklyn Go.
Them Jay-Z trailer songs.
In the home run. And here, I Jack, I Rob,
I son.
I'm Jackie Robinson. Because when I run base, I dodge the pin. Like, I did not want to hear that.
I just want you to know, Brandon, if I'm with you. If that would have happened, I literally would have walked out this movie.
I was waiting for it.
I'd have been mad. Don't get me wrong.
That last pivotal hit that he had, my mind was like, don't you do it. Don't you motherfucking do it. Don't do it. Don't you fuck. I've been enjoying the fuck out of this movie for 2 hours. Let's get this last 8 minutes right. And dog, when he hit that shit and that Brooklyn didn't start, I was like,
yeah, me too.
Just the trailer.
I thought that shit was gonna go crack, the crack of the bat, and then Brooklyn. I was like, no. So the things that didn't work for me, I didn't get enough of that old sassy black woman in the bathroom that told Rachel she was pregnant.
She was a bitch, yo.
That was hilarious.
She been spreading your legs lately.
She used her racial superpowers of deduction and just in 1 second of knowing this woman was like, when's the last time you had your monthly? You harlot.
She wasn't even like she wasn't even nice about it. She was just like, I bet you pregnant, and that's how hood rats start.
So that was I liked her, but she wasn't in it enough. I thought that and this might be controversial to say, so I'll put it out there, but I thought the kid actors weren't that strong, you know, to me. And I don't mean to be a dick to little kids, man, but like some of the luckily they were short performances.
It was corny, man. It was corny.
Yeah, that's what I think. That's what I mean.
No, it was corny. It was just little corny. Kid sitting in the dugout, sitting in the stands, looking lost while his daddy was screaming racial epithets. He was corny. Yeah. Little Ed Charles chasing after the train with his friends, like being there every moment where Jackie is. He's a little stalker.
Yeah,
I can
still hear him. Scary. Like it was this. I guess it was.
And the praying scene. Oh Lord, the praying scene. I was just like, really?
Yeah.
Really. That was so crowbar in there.
Yeah, I guess that's what it was. It felt like of all the stuff in the movie, those felt the most like.
Please, this Lord, really don't let. Please, Lord, let Jackie hit a home run for the Montreals while they got us over here sitting in the nigger section, and I probably won't even be able to see him hit it because we probably behind the dugout.
Lord,
I was like, please let Jackie get at least a hit before they throw his black ass off the field. Because niggas don't get to play out here longer than one inning, Lord.
Oh, God.
Lord.
Oh, my ancestors. I hope y'all never hear this.
That prayer scene was just so. Mama, I watch baseball all the time. Please, Lord. Please let Jackie's glove fit. I know they got him a new one today, but it was woven by a white man.
Meanwhile,
their hands ain't as big as niggas.
Meanwhile, the background of this prayer is the horn, the magical horn, and my man Red talking about some nigga the whole time. Like it was just that scene was so pivotal.
Well, you know what? I don't feel bad for the mama because I was just as confused as she was. I looked at Roger. I say, oh, what does four balls mean? He was like, he can go to the next base. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, mama, he got to walk to the base now. You never seen a black man walk? Please, Lord, let Jackie be able to make it to the base before they lynch and hang his black ass on the field in front of all these people.
See, mama, he discombobulated the man.
Yo, when they threw that word in there, I almost did get up and leave. Really? Discombobulated.
Because I'm a smart young black child with a future. that's gonna be somebody one day. My name is Ed Charles. All the fame.
Does anybody understand him putting his ear to the train tracks? Does that have something to do with his name or something?
Yeah, I don't get that.
I didn't get that at all. Like, it was like I was in the theater and I was like, so he gonna get ran over?
Right, yeah.
That's what I thought.
I feel like at one point in the movie, the little kid was gonna turn around and the back of his shirt was gonna say Charles Metz number 35.
Might as well have said that shit. I can still hear him. I can still, Lord. Please, Lord, let that train reach its destination, and I hope they don't have Jackie up there putting coals into the fire and the train running to pay for his ride.
Hey, Brandon, how corny was it at the very end when they do and this is what this person went on to do.
Oh, my God.
When they show his, and the little kid hits a rock with a, like, paddle out into the woods, but they do, like, an extra 0.75 seconds of just his face looking into the sunset smiling.
He needs to be on a cereal box.
Hey, yeah, he does.
He needs to be on a Wheaties box, as black kids do shit too.
I was like, no, nigga, you didn't hit that rock that hard. Like, why are you looking so far off? You barely hit that fucking rock. It might have crossed the tracks.
Say this? Black people might be better at catching shit in baseball because we play with sticks and stones.
Right.
Getting hit with a baseball ain't nothing like getting hit in the fucking face with a goddamn stone. Okay? Niggas out there trying to keep their eyes and play the sport.
All right, man. So let's give our ratings. I think we pretty much went over everything. I'll go around the room, start with Karen this time. Mm-hmm. On the more epic than Love Jones scale, which 0 being man, fuck you, 5 being fuck you waiting for go see this shit, and the illustrious 6 Kev tears being rarely given out. Karen, what do you rate this movie?
I actually give it a 4 stars. It's actually pay full price. Opening weekend, it was worth it. It won't disappoint, and I was pleasantly surprised, so I give it a 4 stars.
All right, so full price opening weekend. What about you, Brandon?
I have 3 ratings. Okay. I have Kev tears for Rachel Robinson. Mm. She gets Kev tears.
Yes. Yes.
Ben Chapman gets Kev tears.
Yes.
Epic racism scene.
If he doesn't get nominated for something, then fuck Hollywood, dude. There's no way he's that racist in real life, but I believe he's that racist in real life.
But that's why I liked it, because they picked a character who is always kind of just a subtle, nice person. Kind of the dude that's either a supporting character or he's getting pushed around. He's usually amicable. He's never really, like, crazy. So to see him do this role was oh, shit.
You know, in real life, his black friends are like, I saw that movie. but go ahead. What was your other one?
Oh, and my film rating is a 3 out of 5. I don't think it's the greatest film ever done, but I think it's a really good film. And I think if you see it on Matinee or if you see it on full price, it's definitely worth it for both of them.
All right. What about you, Chris?
I will say 4 stars. Good movie, good time, good acting. Just see it for Chadwick Boseman's star-making turn. Hopefully he's in more stuff, and Nicole Beharie. Just a good movie all around. People should go see it.
So full price opening weekend for you. I'm going to have to echo that and go 4-2 because I thought it was well done. I normally don't see black movies or movies about black shit.
I was pleasantly surprised.
On GP. They had Jay-Z in the trailer, so I had to go see it.
they had a good Jay-Z song in the trailer. Mm-hmm.
Right, exactly. That's the key. Like, I didn't see Gangsta Squad.
Mm-mm. I wasn't going to see Gangsta Squad.
No Church in the Wild one more time in a goddamn trailer for a movie, I'm going to flip out.
Did
I swear to God.
Feel like they were trying to, like, play to our, like, I like to say that think that we're dumb. It's like, oh, Jay-Z song in it. I'm going to go see it.
I used to
the verse about Jackie Robinson. That's why they used it.
Well,
they knew what that verse meant.
And I used to feel that way until they put in the Great Gatsby trailer and Gangsta Squad. And I was like, oh, this ain't even about us.
Somebody's doing a study and they found out that Jay-Z would get ass in seats.
Yeah. So,
nigga, he is scoring the Great Gatsby.
Right.
He's scoring the whole film.
When
I found that out, I was like, my meter for if I wanted to see this film or not went down about 3 notches.
The way they're saying it is it's supposed to be the soundtrack, right?
Right.
But if this nigga, man, Just, all right, anyway, for I'm just giving you
get angry.
I'm trying not to get angry about this shit, because I have a rule about not getting angry about movies before I see them, before they come out. But man, I'm close.
Well, I'll tell you this much. Most films these days, because I be on Spotify a lot going through film soundtracks. So for instance, like Flight. Mm-hmm. Flight has two soundtracks. It has the soundtrack of the music that right. you use to transition between scenes. So they actually have them named, like, whatever Denzel's character name was, it'll be like him drinking.
Yeah.
Him on the plane. Him at the hotel.
Yeah.
Him talking to so-and-so. Like, that's how they'll do these soundtracks. And then you have the one with, like, the Joe Croker songs on it with the church sound. All right.
Right.
Uh-huh. Them songs that wanted to make you get up and dance while you was watching
well,
it.
Well, I hope that is what Jay-Z's doing.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for.
Man, if these... Okay, anyway.
Dude, I want you to go there, Rod. I think.
Nah, man, I'm just... Everybody knows I'm a big Jay-Z fan, but I've mentioned that him doing the soundtrack, and if he does the score, I'm not excited about seeing the movie. I might not even see it if he does. And people are like, he hustling. He just getting his money.
No, fuck them.
Like, don't, you know, you can't hate on him. That's good for him. I was like, why the fuck are y'all dick riding this dude so much, man? I'm a fan of the dude, but everything about your hustle doesn't mean, once it starts intruding into quality artwork, I don't want to see it, man. I don't want to just see Jay-Z for the sake of being like, he Jay-Z, he doing things. He going to put Beyonce on the soundtrack. They the number one black couple. I'm
please
like,
Lord,
come
no.
on, man. Like, dude, this is a white ass white of the white movie. I don't need it remixed with black
ain't
shit.
No black people in the trailer.
Yeah, I don't need it that way, man. Just let it go. It's okay.
I'll simmer that for you a bit, Rod. The music, it says the music for The Great Gatsby is by Craig Armstrong.
Okay, good. Yeah. Whew,
right, so it has actually up here, it has Jay-Z's name nowhere.
Good.
Under like directed, produced, screenplay, okay,
so
music, cinematography, editing, studio, distribution,
yeah.
release date, country, and language. He ain't even here under people that might be involved.
Yeah, like, good. Because you know. That's what I was saying is like, I hope it's just a hype to get people to like, what? Jay-Z? And then you're going to show up and it's not in there. Because if it is, motherfucker, oh my God.
See, this is weird. So it stated to release May 7th. The film soundtrack will contain a deluxe edition that features three extra tracks as a Target exclusive release, because Target loves those exclusive releases.
Yeah, okay.
The film score was executive produced by Jay-Z and The Bullets.
Okay.
Okay, and it says, penned by Lana... Okay, you know what? I'm going to start reading this because I'm getting a little upset now.
Yeah, okay.
It says, penned by Lana Del Rey. And I love her music, but her writing ain't the greatest thing in the world.
Well, this has been Sport Movie Reviews. You guys can check us out at theblackouttips.com. It's in the premium content section. If you listen to this, you should already know and you already subscribed. But, you know, tell a friend that this shit is dope and they should be checking it out because it's how we make money now. Thanks so much to Brandon for coming on the show. Make sure you guys check him out. TheTearsOfOrphans.com. And his podcast is Where's My 40 Acres? Very funny show. I listen to it religiously. And the Chris Lambert, The Mundane Festival is his podcast. And ChrisLambert.com is his website. Make sure you check him out. Very funny comedian. Yes. Very good podcast. And you can also... go see him live perform on stage. All his dates are right there on the left side of his show, of his website. So until next time, man, we will talk to y'all about another movie another time. So be more epic than Love Jones. Peace.